Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, I was really asking you, using the words of Jesus, how deep is your own faith? And it's perfectly all right to recognize that your faith may be weak. Don't try to hide that. If your faith is weak, as we look around in our own country and we see the difficulties that we are facing and we see difficulties we are about to face, there's a certain testing of our own mettle that goes on within us. How am I going to handle this? What will I do? What will I say? And oftentimes we might feel frightened, or at least a little threatened. I don't think we're thinking clearly unless we do experience a little bit of that. It's not bad, because it causes us to examine our faith. How deep is our faith? Do I know why I was born? Why I was brought into the world? Do I know where I'm going? Do I know who I am? Do I know who awaits me? Do I live my life out of those truths? Or do I just recall them maybe once a year, maybe not even that? What's the level of my faith? And I mean real faith now. I'm not talking about so many prayers per day. All of that is part of faith. Don't misunderstand me, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, how oriented are you in this sense that I know who I am, I know to whom I belong, I know where I'm going. And so I live my life in light of those kinds of questions and the answers that follow. Is my compass, have I set the course right? Am I walking straight? And if I get off course, how am I getting back on? How long does it take me to get back on? Good questions to ask ourselves right now. How deep is my faith? How do I handle things when my faith is questioned today? In perhaps a pretty mild way. How strong am I? Let's take a look here at the book of Exodus, chapter 40, verses 16 to 21 and 34 to 38. This is a continuation now again of Moses as he leads the people out of Egypt, and they experience all this time in the desert, so to speak, trying to come to the promised land. Moses did exactly as the Lord had commanded him. That's a very important verse. Moses did exactly as the Lord had commanded him. Do we? Good test of how deep our faith is right there. On the first day of the first month of the second year, the dwelling was erected. It was Moses who erected the dwelling. He placed its pedestals, set up its boards, put in its bars, and set up its columns. He spread the tent over the dwelling and put the covering on top of the tent as the Lord had commanded him. He took the commandments and put them in the ark. He placed poles alongside the ark and set the propitiatory upon it. He brought the ark into the dwelling and hung the curtain veil, thus screening off the ark of the commandments, as the Lord had commanded him. And then the cloud covered the meeting tent. This cloud covered them. Most scholars will say it was the Holy Spirit, but it was seen by them or experienced by them as a cloud. The cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the dwelling. Moses could not enter the meeting tent because the cloud settled down upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the dwelling. Whenever the cloud rose from the dwelling, the children of Israel would set out on their journey. But if the cloud did not lift, they would not go forward. Only when it lifted did they go forward. They were trying to follow the Lord as carefully as he was manifesting himself to them in the cloud. How obedient are we? Really? We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Do we listen to his voice? Do we pay heed to his promptings? Do we look to him when we need wisdom? Do we look to him when we need courage? If the cloud did not lift, they would not go forward. Only when it lifted did they go forward. In the daytime, the cloud of the Lord was seen over the dwelling, whereas at night, fire was seen in the cloud by the whole house of Israel in all the stages of their journey. Do not doubt that God is with you on your journey, whatever kind of journey that might be, external, internal, he is with you. He loves you. He walks with you. Learn to recognize his presence. Learn to listen. Give God daily time in prayer and in the word. Receive the sacraments as often as you can. You will grow more and more sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord, mighty God. My soul yearns and pines for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home in the temple, and the swallow a nest in which she puts her young. Blessed are they who dwell in your house. Continually they praise you. Blessed the men whose strength you are. Listen to that, you men and women. Where is your strength? What's the source of your strength? Not just physical strength, but strength of character, strength of mind, strength to fight temptation, strength to live out of fortitude, the gift of strength that comes from God. How strong really are you spiritually? Bless the men and the women whose strength you are. They go from strength to strength. How many times have I said that? Rely on the Lord. Look to the Lord for everything. Come to him first. He may give you things that you need through other people, but he wants you to come to him first because he may himself want to give you something, reveal to you something. Always go to him first. I had rather, says the psalmist, one day in your courts. I'd rather have just one day to live in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather lie at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked, no matter how splendorous. I'd rather just lie at the threshold, just at the bottom of the entrance to the house. I'd be glad to be there than to be in the tents of the wicked. How clear are you? How clear are you? How much do you depend on the Lord? How much do you draw strength from him? How much do you, in a certain sense, so to speak, how much do you dwell in his tent? How do you dwell in his courts? Do you listen to him? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 47 to 53, Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." There is a day of judgment. There will be a judgment of you and a judgment of me individually. That's not just an idea. It's a reality. Do you understand all these things? It's what Jesus says. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And they answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. When Jesus finished these parables, he went away from there. In our society today, we make so many mistakes. Out with the old, out with everything. Everything is new. All our ideas are new. All our plans are new. Our goals are new. Everything is new. New is better. Not necessarily. Pope Francis speaks of our throwaway culture, and he says in that we throw away the elderly. A throwaway culture in which we now throw away the elderly. We throw away, so to speak, those who have lived long years and, if lived with God, have enormous wisdom to offer. But we discard, we throw away, we put away. Be very, very, very careful. I could weep at just that one thing. Pope Francis is right. We have a throwaway culture mentality. And we throw away, so to speak, our elderly. That will lead to exceptional damage for us, for our generation and the generations to follow. Do you understand these things? And they answered, yes. And he replied, then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. Learn the wisdom of the past that you may bring it into the future. Cherish the wisdom of the past that you may carry it to your children and your grandchildren. And then welcome the new discoveries, the new possibilities. Absolutely. But it's knowing how to take out of the storehouse both the old and the new. Both to know how to blend, what to emphasize, what to protect, what to defend, what to be open to as something new. And God will show every generation how to do that. But he says that we are called to be good stewards, those who know how to take out of the storehouse both the new and the old. Brothers and sisters, we need faith. We need wisdom. We need courage. We need humility. We need greater trust in God and greater hope in Him. But we need to heed his word on those things that he asks us to do, and to make sure in our lives that we are beginning, at least, to put them into practice. Every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.